in Isaiah 40, which is page 877. Just two verses. 8:7. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem, cry unto her, that her time of suffering is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of Jehovah's hand double. God knows there's problems in life. Every one of us has problems. God is a God of comfort. He wants to comfort us, and he wants to speak to our heart. Isaiah is the gospel writer of the Old Testament. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. God wants to speak to our heart. There's a little hymn that says, there's room in my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. It'd be good if someone here could make room in their heart for Jesus. God has made it easy for us to come to Jesus. And he's a God of comfort. He knows our problems. The Lord has been here and he understands every problem that we go through. Some problems of life are quite real. Life is not a bed of roses or a bowl of cherries. It's sometimes very real, very problematical. But God, I think, will give us a sense of his comfort at this time. Comfort my people twice, saith your God. He is our God. He's on our side. God is on our side. He wants to bless us. And through Jesus, he can bless us. Repentance only, the hymn we sang, God requires from man, and faith in Christ, his well beloved Son. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her time of suffering is accomplished. Who accomplished that suffering? Jesus. Her iniquity is pardoned. How can God pardon iniquity? Through Jesus. Very touching, isn't it? The Lord went through suffering for us. And it goes on to say, for she hath received of Jehovah's hand double all her sins. I think the Lord received double when he suffered for our sins. Why do I say that? Well, we have an account in the Bible of what men did to Jesus. I saw a video once of Roman scourging, and I had to look away. It was just terrible. The cruelty of man is exposed in their judgment, their actions of judgment against Jesus, and he allowed it. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Quite horrendous what the cruelty of man is, and that's all our hearts. We're all sinners, all away from God, but the Lord went through that. But that didn't save us. That did not save us. Man's cruelty to Jesus could not save us. We had to go on to the further 3 hours on the cross. A reference was made to it earlier today. Those 3 hours were covered in darkness. Why? God, for some reason, did not want us to see anything of what went on there. Nothing. At the end of 3 hours, the Lord cries, why have you forsaken me? The Lord could not understand, as a man, why he'd been forsaken. Those hours were so awful. He could stand the hours of man's cruelty to him. But when he was made sin, that thing that he was not and did not and knew not, for us, taking our place as sinners before God, it was almost too much to bear. A question came, why have you forsaken me? Why? Well, we know the answer, that he was forsaken so that we might not be forsaken. But the reality, the awfulness of it, because the Lord Jesus faced it as a man, doesn't say my Father, he says my God. Why have you forsaken me, the last person on earth that should be forsaken? The one who did your will all my life, you've forsaken me. The Lord felt that. And, of course, we know there was no answer. Just gives us to realise what the Lord went through, the sufferings that the Lord Jesus went through for us. Suffering at the hand of man is awful. I couldn't look at that video, just awful. But, at the hand of God, it was far more. Because he was made sin, the sinless, holy, spotless, Lamb of God. The Christ of God was made sin. And he felt it. Did he not feel it? Of course he felt it. When the woman came to him and touched him with his garment, he said, virtue has gone out of me. Someone has taken away from me. It affected Christ. Somebody would come and be healed. Of course it affected him. He carried his spirit, but he took away in his power. But when it came to the cross, when it came to that awful matter of being made sin, it was terrible. We do not know, why did God hide it? Some have said he hid it from the rude gaze of man. Maybe. Maybe he hid it from all of us because it was just too bad for us to see. Maybe it was too much for us to take in to see Jesus made sin. I just pause there because I don't know. That cry from him, he didn't cry like that when he was here. He was always in control. But on the cross, as being made sin, why have you forsaken me? An unanswered question. Why did he have a question? Did he not know? Did he not know? Well, he was a real man. And as a real man, we had this afternoon, the Lord came as Son of Man. He was a real man. And as a real man, it was just overcoming for him to be forsaken by his God. Why have you forsaken me? Why? We know that every Christian is the answer, because he was forsaken that we might not be forsaken. But the horrendousness of it, the reality of it, just came home to me. And I'll just pass it on to think of what the Lord went through, which really was more than he could bear as a man. Hence the question. So it says, sufferings. Yes, he had sufferings here, and we can read about those sufferings. In the four Gospels we have an account of the sufferings of Christ here. Where? At the hand of man. And what was his reaction? Father, forgive them. A reaction. That was not the reaction when he was made sin. No way. Quite a different reaction. Why have you forsaken me? Don't know. Her iniquity is pardoned. Because of what Christ has suffered, not at the hands of man, but at the hands of God, you and I can be forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? He suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. What do we need to do? Just repent. Say we're sorry to God about our sins. Recognise we're a sinner and ask Jesus to save us. That's what we've got to do. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Is there room in my heart for thee? Is there room in your heart for Jesus? He's gone to the extremity of being made sin. He's gone to the extremity of laying down his life and shedding his precious blood. You might say, is there room in your heart for him? God would comfort you. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. God is on our side. God is not against us. He's your God. He's our God. He's not against us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us the very best he can. Comfort us. A lot of people in this world today need comfort, you know. There's a lot of sorrow, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of violence. Didn't we read of the MP who was killed this week? No apparent reason, but innocent person in that sense. Quite solemn, isn't it, that there's such violence? And of course, if you think of other countries, civil war is raging in other countries. What violence there is, man against man. When I say man, I mean mankind, men, women, boys and girls. You understand, I don't mean just men, but mankind, such violence. And the Lord had to suffer that. He could suffer it. He could stand it. He could ask for forgiveness for those who did it. I'm sure many Christians are doing that as they are persecuted. But the atoning sufferings, when the Lord was made sin, a completely different story. Let us remember that. What it cost Jesus to be made sin is beyond our understanding. We don't see it. God says you're not going to see it. I don't want you to see it. Perhaps it's too bad for us to see. Otherwise, God has hidden it. In his wisdom, he's hidden it from us. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of suffering for Christ. Quite a while, isn't it? If you're in pain and suffering for 3 hours, it's quite a while for us. That's how I think the Lord suffered doubly for our sins. At the hands of man, at the hand of God. But the iniquity can be pardoned. Isn't that a wonderful thing tonight? Iniquity can be pardoned. You can be saved. You can come to Jesus. You have your life changed. Your life is empty without Christ. You might live here in the world and do what you want to do, but it's empty. Something in your heart is missing. Jesus wants a little corner of your heart. It isn't a lot. Just a corner of your heart. Just a little. Receive him into your heart for repentance and faith. There's a door. You have to open that door. There's nothing for you to do in that sense but open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. May someone hear that knocking tonight. Open the door of their heart. Let Jesus in. He'll change your heart, of course. Give you a new outlook on life. He'll give you eternal life. Give you a blessing. Give you all that God can give. Eternal life is something real, isn't it? It's enjoyed now by Christians, but be enjoyed fully in the day to come. When Jesus comes, we'll enjoy eternal life. At the moment, we have our bodies. That's why we need comfort. Our bodies give us trouble sometimes. Our bodies give us aggro sometimes. They don't always do what we want them to do. They ache and they hurt, and people hurt us, and things hurt us, and our bodies give us problems sometimes. There is a time coming when there'll be no problems. Have a new body of glory like Jesus. But at the moment we have problems, and God wants to comfort us. Twice we bid comfort. He is the God of all comfort. I like that. And he wants our heart. There's a little hole in your heart that can't be filled other than by knowledge of God. Man has been made that way. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, had a link with God. You can try and fill that hole with various things. It won't fill it. It'll leave you empty in the end. I suppose what's around us in the world is people trying to fill their souls and their hearts without God. Sorry, it's a losing battle. Sorry, you're not going to do it. Sorry, pack it up. You won't do it. It's something in your heart God has put there that can only be filled knowledge of himself. And that's through Jesus. And that's on the basis of what the Lord Jesus has been through for you and for me. It wasn't for himself. Oh, you say, but he said, why have you forsaken me? Yes, he said that. It wasn't for him. He wasn't sin. He wasn't a sinner. He was made sin. Why have you forsaken me? You're forsaken that millions and millions of persons may not be forsaken, that might find eternal life in you. That's available now to all of us. That's available to you in faith. See, I can't give you faith. As you listen to the word, God will give you faith. Trust that you'll just have a sense of God speaking to your heart. He loves you. He's given Christ for you. He wants to give you the very best. I think Christians will suddenly realise when the Lord comes for his own, that this was the very best. We're in faith now. We have faith that what God has done is his very best for us. But then when Christ comes, we shall see it fully. Understand fully. Wow, we shall say. Half wasn't told us at Queen of Sheba. This is wonderful. Now that is a foretaste of what God can do for you. Meanwhile, he draws near to you in comfort. Yes, if you're going through problems in your life, God will come near to you in comfort in Christ. And he wants your heart. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. God is speaking to hearts tonight. God loves you. God's given his son for you. God will do all he can for you. For you, all you've got to do, just recognise you're a sinner. And we know we all are. And ask for forgiveness. I don't apologise for saying about that man at the temple gate. I've said it before. God be merciful to me, the sinner. He got blessing. That's how we get the blessing, by saying to God, I'm a sinner, save me. Peter, you know, Peter called out, Lord, save me. Then he said to the Lord immediately afterwards, I'm a sinful man. He was quite right, of course. He was a sinful man. All of us, men, women, boys and girls, all sinners. But recognising it is the way of blessing. The Pharisee wouldn't recognise, oh, I'm a great chap. I do this, that, and that. I'm marvellous, I'm wonderful. Not like this chap, he's terrible. The man got the blessing who took the low place. We read today that they were crippled and blind and lame, cast at Jesus' feet. Low at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. If we take a low place, God will give us a high place. Christians will all have a high place in the world to come. You may not have a high place here, but hold on, a high place is coming. You'll have a high place with Jesus in glory to enjoy him forever and to enjoy one another forever. Great, isn't it? Christian's outlook is wonderful. It all starts by taking your place as a sinner. Repentance toward God. Saying, yes, please save me. I can't save myself. Jesus died to save me. Please save me. Let him into your heart tonight. If you open the door, he'll come in. He won't go away. He'll come into your heart. Find a place that can change your heart. Give you a hope that's beyond the hope here. You see, people in life one moment, the MP was in life one moment, about to go into her constituency and speak about what she was bits about. In a moment, dead. Well, if you know Jesus, when you die, you go to heaven. If you don't know Jesus, when you die, you go to hell. Wow. That's pretty straight, isn't it? Yes. God calls black black and white white. He doesn't deceive you. He comforts you and helps you and loves you and would attract you to himself. But God is holy and just. And if persons, if you live your life with your back on God, then you wouldn't find a place in heaven anyway. You wouldn't want to, would you, if you don't want to know anything about God? It's solemn, isn't it? God says, give me thy heart. He wants to comfort you and help you. Show how much he loves you. That's my job, to tell you how much God loves you. How much he is prepared to sacrifice, even his own son. How much was Christ prepared to sacrifice himself on the cross for you, just for you. Then tell him, thank him for dying for you. I'm a sinner. Need you to save me, Lord. Please do it now. Amen.